Does God really control our suffering? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike and Pete. Thanks for coming in again, as usual. I appreciate that. I know how busy a pastor. I am so glad I'm not a pastor anymore. Man, you guys, it's 24 hours a day, so to give this time is greatly appreciated. And
good to be here.
We love getting your questions. Pete comes in to Pete Alwinson to answer questions on Friday. We love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Or in Canada, Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address if you'd like a personal response. And don't use the one, and you always get a response. And by the way, don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number. It's available to you 24 hours a day, but that's to make orders or to get the tapes free or to get the booklets free or to get the magazines free or to make a contribution. But you got to write your question down. And the only dumb question's the one you don't ask. And we love to hear from you. Pete, lead us in prayer, and we'll get to these questions.
All right. Our Father, we bow in your presence today. Glad to call you Father and glad to be your children. And we stop, Lord, and recognize that you are in charge of our lives. You are in charge of the universe. You are the supreme King of heaven and earth. You cause all things to work together after the counsel of your will. And so we worship you. And Lord, we tell you today as a matter of faith that we love you, and we don't know why you do everything you do or why you allow everything you allow into our lives. But we know you're good. We know you're righteous. We know you have our best interests at heart. And so we ask you to give us your perspective on the events that we go through and the pain and suffering of our lives. So, Father, we look forward to worship because that helps us to put things into perspective, to not have all the answers, but to know that you do. And so we pray for this weekend that you would give us just a heart to give praise and honor to you. Be with our leaders as they set up and prepare for worship. May they speak the words that we need to hear, and may we hear them. And, Lord, may you be honored. And so now we just ask for your grace in these moments where we look at some questions and pray that you would be honored. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pete, this is an email. Is God really in control even over our pain and suffering?
Well, Ephesians 1:11. God causes all things to work together after the counsel of his own will. So, yeah, he is in control of everything. All things work together for good.
And the alternative is pretty horrible, too.
Yeah, what is the alternative?
Yeah, the alternative is God doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Or that he's surprised. Yeah. Or that he would, and it's so easy for us to say, because we're not suffering right now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for us to say things like, well, but of course.
Mm-hmm.
But when you find out you've got cancer, or when the pain is awful, you know, mm-hmm. we had a luncheon here at Key Life today, and Pete and I came after the luncheon, and Tim and Eric, to do this program, and I came here a little bit early, and I had to return a phone call to a former student who just found out that his wife has leukemia, and the bad kind.
Wow.
And so I talked to him on his cell phone. He's working in a church, and he just said, Steve, it's just awful, but it looks like the chemotherapy is going to work. I mean, it's really showing some good results. She's been in the hospital for 3 weeks.
Oh, man.
And so he gave me her number, and I called her. And I want you to know, Pete, she just blew me away.
Mm.
She said, I want you to know this has been an amazingly wonderful experience. It's been hard. And she said, I've been able to witness in ways that you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
In order for the chemotherapy to work, it has to kill off some dead cells and then allow my body to create the good ones. And she said, I told my nurse that's what Jesus has done for me, that I had to die in order to live. Wow. And so she and she went on and on and on. And I'm thinking, I thought I called to comfort you. and God gave her amazing grace. Yeah. And was God in charge of that?
Yeah.
And I don't like that. And I don't understand it. But and I don't understand how it's all going to work out. But you got to say that he is, because if he's not, then the pain and suffering that so many people I love and hear from, and we hear from thousands of you, some of the letters I get, we get a prayer list that's sent to all the staff members here and all of our prayer warriors. And by the way, when you ask us to pray, we really do. And I can be depressed. I can just take that prayer list of two or three pages and decide, I'm going to take this time, I'm going to pray through it. And by the time I get to the end of it, I just say, Lord, this is awful. But you got to say at the end, if God's not in charge of that, then we got a bigger problem than all the bad stuff that's going on.
That is so powerful. What you have is despair. I mean, you have problems with an absolutely sovereign God who allows evil and bad to happen to us. That's true. Right. But the alternative is worse.
Yeah.
And so we the scriptures reveal him to us as in control.
That's good. So we're not saying that in a flippant way. Pete's a pastor, and he sees stuff that you just wouldn't believe, and so we don't say that flippantly, but that's the way you get through it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
If you don't have that, you don't. And that's what my friend who has leukemia said. How does somebody who doesn't know God deal with something like this?
You know, I experience it the same way you do, Steve. I've got 200 prayer requests that I'm praying. I had 10, 11 people praying about cancer struggles. And I saw a good illustration the other day. Some guy wrote it about how he said, when it comes to prayer, I've come to see myself as the warehouseman, and God's the warehouse. He says, I don't have to keep all these things in me. I take these requests. And I give them to God because he's the warehouse, and he can handle them. He can store them. He can deal with them. I'm the warehouseman. I just got to get them to God. And that helped me a lot because I love that. Because I get so depressed. I read all this stuff
and we see God saying, alleviating it and healing.
That's right.
We have a lady in our church, Joyce Cushing, whose daughter, they said, you're going to die yesterday.
That's right.
And she was playing tennis last week, and they can't find any cancer.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, is that cool?
Wow. That is incredible.
That's because I prayed for her.
That's right.
It was me. It wasn't those other centers in our church. It was me. Yeah, right. Exactly. This is another email. Thou shalt not kill is one of the Ten Commandments. Why then in the Old Testament does God tell the Israelite armies to kill all living things in the enemy camps, all men, women, children, and livestock?
Well, there is a legitimate ground for life-taking, for taking a life. And this is murder. This is, without due process, taking the life of someone. And, but there are times when God commands the taking of the lives of the hordes of pagans who have rejected him and unbelievers.
There's this tendency that we have, and I don't want to go too far explaining the ways of God because I have my own questions, but we have this tendency to say this wonderful culture they went into destroyed. That's not true. That's God, knowing that it was through Messiah that literally millions upon millions of people would have eternal life, made a decision. And he realized that his covenant people, and they still are, we're part of the covenant people, a stiff-necked bunch attracted by sin. Just watch the church, man. You ever seen them drift in the right direction? You always drift in the wrong direction. You become apostate. You look at all the seminaries that were once faithful to Christ that aren't anymore. So it always goes in that direction. So it wasn't any different. But God, it was very important that Israel be preserved as a people, because out of that people would. And so you got these cultures where children are being sacrificed, paganism, debauchery, drunkenness, killing, all of that. And God knew that was attractive, and he said, this cannot exist, or my people. And I think that is one of the reasons. But there's a difference between murder.
That's right.
And sanctioned the taking of a life.
That's right.
But at minimum, the commandment to which our friend refers does talk about the importance of life.
Yeah, and it does. And there isn't this sense that just because you tick me off, I can take your life, or you get in my way, or, you know, it's to end, in a sense, the blood feud and instituting a more civilized process of due process of law.
I agree. Okay. Florida, can you make any suggestions for witnessing?
Probably a bunch. Yeah. You know, be in people's lives and love people. And, you know, be attractive and see what they say. And then look for open windows to open doors to talk and tell the truth.
Yeah,
I was thinking of that quote you're saying.
Yeah.
Always preach the gospel. Yeah. Use words if necessary. Who said that? Was it?
I don't know. I heard it from Tony Campolo, but when I quote him, people get angry. So
he probably didn't come up with it.
Yeah, he was from somebody.
I think it was a Presbyterian minister or something.
Must have been.
Yes.
Must have been. Let me tell you something that, and I don't want to get too cerebral here, but I teach a course for some of the Doctor of Ministry thing called Communicating to Postmoderns, and there really has been a change in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
A major shift in how people perceive things. And I think there was a time, and there's still some of that, where propositions were the most important thing in terms of a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Today, living it is most important thing in a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Being vulnerable, being open, and then following that with propositions about truth rather than the other way around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think in the process you get to explain some of the propositions. It takes longer because people don't have the Judeo-Christian basis in their life. It takes longer for somebody to convert unless God just immediately does it right then and there. He always blows our paradigms. But we do need to give answers, and probably the same answers 4, 5, 6 times for people to understand what it means.
So true. So much explanation. And Peter said, you know, always be ready to give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think we're supposed to do? We're supposed to create questions.
Mm. And, that's good.
And bland, nice, sweet, always do it the right way, smile at everybody. Doesn't create questions.
Mm-hmm. I think subverting the culture, in a sense, asking questions about why the world does what they do, why is that right?
Yes, exactly. Good point. Pete, thanks for coming in, man.
All right.
I appreciate it. Guys, we got to get out of here. Whenever you write or call, do give us the call letters of this great station. We like to know. One other thing before we go, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.